Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Vincent Xavier here, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I want to begin today's radio broadcast with a few verses out of the book of Psalms. And then in just one moment, Daniel Second will be joining us from Australia. Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Psalm 51, verse 1, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Psalm 69, verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Psalm 77, verse 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Think about it. Psalm 79, verse 8. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Psalm 119, 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Psalm 119, 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And finally, Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, what's interesting about that phrase every single time in the book of Psalms is it's the rakam. And that word rakam is very interesting definition. Here's what it is. It means compassion, number one. The rakam is compassion. By extension, it literally refers to the womb as cherishing the fetus. Oh my God, there's a message here, folks. as cherishing the fetus. How many of you have been born again of incorruptible seed? How many of you become a new creation in Christ Jesus? Old things are passed away. All things are become new within the context of that new creation. How many of you understand that Christ is being formed in you? And do you know the womb of your heart is producing the fruit of a divine nature? Think about that. The very soil, the good soil of your heart has received the incorruptible seed, and a birthing is taking place. And this tender mercies is as one that is cherishing the fetus within the womb, bowels of compassion, tender love, tender mercies. May we always, in these last moments of time, remember that we must keep our hearts tender before the Lord. And don't worry about it, you real rough and tough guys out there. Even King David, the greatest warrior, had a tender heart before the Lord. Remember to keep your heart tenderized. Continue to go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. Give your coat with your shirt. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Remember these things. They are super important to the moment that we are living in. I will stop right there. I want to invite my brother, Daniel Seckham, to come and join us once again all the way from Australia. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, brother. Doing quite well. I'm in the quietest part of my house, but it's also the coldest part of my house. So I'm trying to keep it a bit warm.
You know, it's so interesting. Again, we've had this conversation, but we're just going into summer, and today is going to be like 98 degrees with the heat index, and that's Fahrenheit. And here you are going into winter. What an interesting way the planet has been arranged, huh?
It certainly is. It certainly is. Well, the good news for me is that I only have one more month of winter left. In fact, I've got 27 days left of winter, because it's actually 1 month. So it's actually, it is 1 month. So I'll be on the 6th of August, I'll be heading over to the United States, and I'll be enjoying my first American summer. So I've experienced an American fall and an American spring, but never an American summer. So that's going to be interesting.
Well, bring your shorts, my dear friends, and flip-flops. Bring flip-flops or sandals. What do you call those in Australia? Are they flip-flops or sandals?
No, we call them thongs.
Thongs. Okay. Well, maybe that's where we got the word, was thongs. I remember them as thongs, too. So make sure you bring your thongs. You know, we won't even go there. All right, so bring your thongs, bring your shorts, and bring your suntan oil. And when you go minister, have a few of those Australian. Now, you guys have really cool Australian shirts, right? I mean, they button down and they're like short sleeve, and right?
Yeah, oh yeah, kind of. We have our own quirky ways in the way that we do things. So, we like our shorts really short. And we wear singlets. You don't call them singlets, do you?
I've never heard of a singlet.
What's a singlet? Like, I think you call them tank tops.
Oh, good.
Them tank tops.
Plus, I had no idea. All right, tank tops. I like that. Speaking about tank tops, the president just rolled in a bunch of tanks into Washington, D.C. So praise God.
I heard. That's going to be very, very interesting. I tell you what, the left are going to, they are going to try and demonize that event as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, we're beginning to wonder here if all those tanks, airplanes, and military brass power and hardware that's there is because there's some threat against Washington, D.C. I don't know. Vice President Mike Pence was recalled back to Washington, D.C. a couple of days ago. And there's a lot of intel, a lot of concern about things going on around the world again. But you know what? It's just an amazing moment, and only God knows. And President Trump wants to really do it up for the 4th of July.
He does. He does. But you can see where the left are going to take it. The angle that they're going to take. They're going to say, well, Trump wants to be a dictator. He wants to have a military parade just like a dictator. And so you can just see where this is going to go as far as the left are concerned, because they are absolutely desperate. As you've probably realized, they've jumped back on the the children separated at the border. You know, they were on that 2 months ago, but then it lost steam. But now they've jumped back on the bandwagon because they don't have anything else to go with. So they are really clutching at straws now because they are staring at a 2020 election defeat. Because if at the Democratic debates that they had last week, on both nights, it's like they were appealing to the the radical hardcore leftists. I thought it was extraordinary, especially when that Castro man appealed to having transgenders to have their right to abortion. I mean, goodness me. I mean, it was really a competition of them trying to outwoke each other. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah, we are living in extraordinary times, there's no doubt. And all of a sudden, Antifa comes back on the scene after, you know, missing for a couple of years. And we see reporters getting beat up and the Antifa crowd growing. So, you know, it's the stirring of the pot again. There's a lot of political propaganda moving on. And yet there's some very real stuff that's happening. We are receiving all kinds of intel from every direction, it seems, of military personnel that are basically saying, keep your eyes open the next couple of days. I'm not sure what we're going to see, but I know that 2019, I believe that God has revealed this will be a time of great violence, a summer of violence. And, you know, getting back to where we are with the border issue that you just brought up, you know, AOC, ACO, I forget her name, from New York. You know, she's decrying that they're the concentration camps for all these people that are breaking the law, and yet the compassion, as though people on the right don't have compassion for children. The left wants to murder babies in the womb, and then they act so compassionate, these little children. You know, speak into that. That's crazy.
Well, they actually did have I think it was a Guatemalan or might have been a Mexican official that actually toured the camps, and he said,
the facilities. Yeah, I was just helping you.
He toured the facilities, and he basically said that there was nothing wrong with them. He said they've got clean water, the clean bathroom facilities. They've got shampoo. They can, you know, everything is above standard, and it just completely demolished AOC's claims of it being a concentration camp. I mean, the over the top nature of this is just unbelievable. And if anything, it's just playing straight into Trump's hands. So, I mean, I think Americans are smart enough to see that the extent that the left are going to, like the overreach, the craziness, the over the top melodrama, you know, and the extreme rhetoric is just, they're having a gutful. They really are had enough with it, and I think they are going to take that to the booths. And I, you know, it's interesting because this is what lost Hillary the election. People voted against Hillary because of the woke state of her politics. And when I say woke, I'm referring to a kind of like it's a street term for people being awakened to politics, but more so talking about people awakened to the left side of politics. But people were just fed up with political correctness. They're sick and tired of political correctness. They're sick and tired of being muzzled, having free speech muzzled. They're sick and tired of the whole LGBT agenda being rammed down their throat. So they revolted, and and that's what happened when Trump got voted into power. And so I think with what we're seeing happening, it's just going to play right into Trump's hands. And in fact, I think Trump is encouraging the craziness. He wants them to keep going crazy because he knows exactly what's going to happen. They're just going to play straight into his hands.
Okay, so what happens at this point, Daniel? What is your thought where this is all going? Meaning this, that what happens when the left realizes there's not one candidate that's going to beat Donald J. Trump, another 4 years of the Trump administration, And then you have people like John Kerry that are talking to Iran. The president made mention of that in a interview the other day, that John Kerry is breaking some law possibly about spending time with Iran, talking to them, you know, these political maneuvers. And then we're hearing that the left, their whole ideology and agenda is to destroy every vestige of the American society. I mean, Kaepernick gets upset about a pair of Nike tennis shoes, right?
Yeah.
With an American flag on it. So they want to get rid of America.
Yeah.
Would they go so far as to create a false flag event in the United States because they just can't handle another 4 years of Trump and they've got to stir something up? Or do you think they just let it go for another 4 years?
Well, they really are putting their country in jeopardy because – you know, as Chesterton said, you cannot fight for a country unless you love it. And that is absolutely true. These young millennials who have been indoctrinated to hate their country are putting their own nation in danger. And, you know, it's happening in a bunch of different ways. I mean, one of the ways is that they are warming to socialism. That's a real concern, the fact that so many young people are switched on to socialism. I mean, if that doesn't cause people to wake up, then I don't know what will, because, you know, these millennials are going to be the future of America. And more than that, the fact that the left are pushing so hard to remove the Electoral College, and then secondly, and thirdly, trying to import all of these illegal immigrants and then to give them voting rights. I mean, they are really, if it hasn't, I can't see a greater example of how much they hate America. I mean, they have really become the party, the anti-America party. You know, and Trump said something this week which I thought was spot on. He says that his observations of the Democrat debates, primary debates. He said these candidates said more about doing things for illegal immigrants than for Americans. They are more about appeasing illegal immigrants. I mean, you saw that with Beto O'Rourke when he was speaking in Spanish, which I thought was pretty pathetic. But, you know, just trying to appease and to win over the illegal immigrants is just unbelievable. But it just goes to show. And by the way, he's in some other news, Thomas Jefferson's hometown trashes his birthday. So on Monday in Charlottesville, Virginia, Thomas Jefferson's hometown, the city council voted 4-1 to eliminate celebrating the birthday of the author of the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And then we have another college where the students are offended over murals of George Washington and are demanding them to be covered up. Because they are offended, they're being triggered by these murals of George Washington. Now they want to remove Thomas Jefferson's birthday, you know, from being remembered at the University of Virginia. I mean, it's just unbelievable, these things. And like you mentioned, Kaepernick mentioned how us pressured Nike into dropping the American flag, the shoes with the American flag. So it's just extraordinary times. But you need to understand why this is going on, because the left hate, absolutely detest nationalism. They hate nationalism because they want to completely remove any national identity. And the reason why they're doing this is because national identity brings about unity. You know, you have unity when people share national identity. This is why people, you know, this is the whole thing in regard to taking the pledge, you know, and everybody looking up at the flag while they take that pledge, because that flag is a symbol of unity among all Americans. And this is what needs to be defended, because if you lose this national unity, then you've lost the united part of the United States. And that's a real, real concern. So, but yes, they are against nationalism. Now, there are three things that unite a people and give people identity. And first of all, it's family. Family is the number one thing that gives people identity. And the second thing is church. And a lot of people have lost religion. They've lost the church. So they've lost that aspect of the identity. And really, the church is a powerful bulwark to totalitarian control, because people who are believers don't need to look to the government for anything. They just look to God. They see God. They have liberty in God, because it's God who gives them liberty, and it's God who gives them their rights. So they don't need to look to government. That's why the government has to the left have to fight against the religion. Religion is a big thing that they need to do away with. So and of course the third thing that they need to do away with is nationalism. Nationalism is very, very important in order for them to do away with, because again, nationalism gives people that sense of identity. So this is what needs to happen. America needs to push hard against this. I think there are a lot of Americans who don't seem to understand just how dire where your country is heading at the moment, because a lot of people just think, you know, that things are, you know, just as bad as they were 10 years ago. But the truth is that things are much, much, much worse. You witnessed every single Democrat presidential candidate. Every single one of them were unanimous in extreme anti-American views. Every single one of them. And I mean, that is absolutely extraordinary. The fact that they would actually be that anti-American and what they had to say. So this is actually where we're at the moment. This is what you're up against, and this is why people need to fight. People need to start pushing back. People need to understand just how dire the situation is, and people need to start getting back to God. They need to reinforce the family. They need to come back to God and revitalize a religion within America, and they also need to get their patriotism back. Those three things are key to strengthening America.
Well said, Daniel. You know, as you're talking, there's only one thought comes to my mind: psychological dysfunction. When we call killing babies love and promoting Christ, righteousness, and morality hate, that is a psychological dysfunction. And the question is why? And the answer is simply, there is no reference for their thinking. I mean, for people to think that transgenderism is good and somehow connected to love, homosexuality is good and somehow connected to love, lesbianism is good and somehow connected to love, when people think that way, they have no reference for their thought. It is emotional. It is feelings oriented. We know you cannot trust your feelings. You cannot trust your own heart, because the heart is desperately wicked, and who could know it? We trust in the Word of God. The reason why we think the way we think, the reason why we believe the way we believe, the reason why we're not drowning in the perdition of this age is because we have reference for our thinking, which is the Word of God. And Daniel, I was thinking this morning when I first awoke and I got up and I started singing and enjoying my walk to the kitchen for a cup of coffee and all that good stuff. You know, we push a button and our coffee warms up. I flip a switch, my light comes on. I flush a toilet, and everything goes away. Sorry for sounding crass, but everybody does it. And I was just thinking, I push a button in my car, and my car starts. How convenient everything has been for us, and the eerie thought that one day you will not be able to flip a switch and have light. You will not be able to push a button and start your car. You will not be able to flush your toilet and everything go away. You will not be able to push a button on your microwave and everything's going to be warmed up. We are a generation, we don't even want to push the button twice. We want to push the button once. So they put a 30-second mode on your microwave. So you don't have to push 30 and then play. You just hit the 30-second button. Mm. Everything we are, everything we have is built on convenience. And yet we're living in that time you're talking about, the vulnerabilities of all conveniences as we know them going away. And I fear that the majority of the American people perhaps are not prepared to live without those conveniences. What will they do with no electricity? What will they do with the refrigerator? Speak into that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I would say that we're kind of – I agree with Niall Ferguson, who says that we are living in a democracy. Let me say that again. We are living in a democracy. This is what he says. He says we no longer live in a democracy. We live in a democracy where emotions rather than majorities rule and feelings matter more than reason. That is where we have come to. And what gave way to that? What gave way to that? Well, I would have to say that relativism gave us that. Relativism, that's when you get rid of objective moral values and you then resigned to embrace a relativism where there's no such thing as right and wrong. And what's more terrifying than that is that there's no such thing as good and evil. And when people start to realize that there's no such thing as objective reality, no such thing as objective right or wrong, then they become their own God. They become a master of themselves. And this is where emotions rule. This is where they want what they no longer look out for anybody else. They look out for number one. And this is what breeds a very nihilistic society. This is why, you know, we have everybody talks about trying to take away America, you know, gun rights and all that stuff, but nobody talks about the nihilism that has brought about this fatalistic attitude among young people, where they just believe, well, you know, I think all this life is just a dream. And if I can go in with a gun and kill people, then who cares? You know, it's what's the difference? There's no such thing as right and wrong, and there's no such thing as good and evil. I can do whatever I want. This is where America is heading at the moment. And it all started once you get rid of God. The moment you get rid of God, you get rid of objective moral values, and then you plunge headlong into relativism. And it's no wonder that Niall Ferguson says that we live in a democracy, because it's 100% true. We are living in a democracy where emotions matter more than principles. And that's a scary place to be in.
You know, Daniel, twice in the book of Judges, it talks about a society in Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the same verse is quoted again in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, that every man does what is right in his own eyes. And you talk about democracy, it's a system of what feels good to the individual, which takes us out of a community and brings us into individualism, correct? I mean, everybody's living for themselves. And now, within the context of a divided nation, we know that a divided nation cannot stand. And what has divided the nation? We've lost sense of our common union, our community, and within our society, one nation under God, you know, possessing the same values and the same morality and the naturalness of what life is about. And we've descended into the pit of individualism and now this democracy you're talking about. And yet the Word of God says that that time has been before and it's here again. And where does it end? Always in judgment, always in failure.
Yeah, I tell you an interesting quote by Thomas Sowell. He said, the problem isn't that Johnny can't read. The problem isn't even that Johnny can't think. The problem is that Johnny doesn't know what thinking is. He confuses it with feeling. And really, that is a sad indictment on the next generation of Americans coming up, because that's the absolute truth. The problem is that not that they can't read, or not that they can't think. The problem is that they don't know what thinking is. They confuse it with feelings, feelings, feelings. And again, that comes back to the fact that they have dethroned God and have enthroned themselves. And really, you know, when we talk about this paganization of America and the fact that we are witnessing it just go headlong into immorality and wickedness, remember that scripture that God reveals the end from the beginning. He reveals the end from the beginning. What is at the heart of this nihilistic attitude? It's the fact that they want to be God. And what was it that the serpent said to Eve in the garden? He said, God just doesn't want you to know that you will become like him. You will become like gods. That really is the heart of the matter, because leftism essentially is a religion. It is a religion where they have enthroned themselves as God. And this is why they are so totalitarian and so narcissistic and so demanding that people pay attention to them and how they virtue signal and tell people what to do and how they tell people what's right and what's wrong. This is what the elites do, you know, and these are the ones who are in charge or calling the shots in regard to political correctness. But it all goes back to the fact, you know, back into the garden where man wanted to be God. And this is why it's all summed up in government. And this is why young leftists see their utopian dream is wrapped up in a government. And this is why they believe that the government needs to expand to be able to fulfill their utopian dream, which is absolute nonsense. You know, it's interesting because let's go back to what Colin Kaepernick was saying. Colin Kaepernick pressured Nike into dropping the American flags. He's a very anti-American, anti-nationalist person. And he has this hatred of anything American. And, I'm just trying to remember where I was going with this. It's 12:30.
Well, while you're thinking about that, and I know it's going to come back to you here in just a moment, I wanted to ask you this question. Are we allowed to apply the principle that you just brought up, the end is revealed from the beginning? The beginning of the United States of America began with a revolution. I mean, it began ultimately with people in the early 1600s coming here and finding a land for, you know, to be set apart for the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and crosses were planted and people came here for the fresh air of liberty to worship God without the church state telling them how to do it. But they did come as Christian men and women to worship the King of Glory. And then, of course, to fight for the independence, the liberty, there was a fight. And it began in 1776 with a Revolutionary War. And, you know, is that what we're going to see at the end, is a Revolutionary War, a civil war in the United States of America? Does the end look back to the beginning?
Well, it could look like that, you know, because what they essentially, the left, want to do is that they want to replace justice with social justice. They want to replace the revolutionary war. They want to replace that revolution with a socialist revolution. So they want to completely undo everything that brought about the War of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They want to completely undo all of that. And they want to usher in what they think is actually utopia, but in reality, it will just be hell on earth. It will actually be hell on earth. And there will be a pile of dead bodies as a result of this, because they have just, it's the old ancient lie. And in getting back to what I was saying about Colin Kaepernick, you know, like he says that America is such a bad country. Well, bad compared to what? That's the question that you need to ask. America is bad compared to what? Because what you'll find is America in reality is one of the least racist nations on the face of the earth. You know, America is one of the greatest countries for people getting a new life back together. You know, people swim through alligator-infested waters and climb over barbed wire to get into America. That's the whole reason why people are pouring into across the southern border, because America offers so much in regard to freedom and building a life in the pursuit of happiness. That's what America does. To call him Kaepernick, for him to say that, it's just ridiculous. What he really is comparing America to is to his idea of a leftist utopia. That is what he is comparing America to. He's comparing America to this figment of his imagination, which does not exist and has never existed. That's what he's doing, and it's just, it's disgraceful. So, but anyway, we're starting to see some companies pushing back against Nike, and I hope more and more people take a stand and push back against this.
Yeah, amen. Now, I want to do something. Normally, we rush through this at the end of our conversation because everything just starts flowing, but you are on your way to the United States of America on August 6th, and you're going to be in Northwest Arkansas around the 19th? Am I clear on that?
Yes. I'm just looking at my schedule now. So I'm going to be in flying in on the 6th. I'll be speaking at the conference, Understanding the Times conference at Tyler, Texas, from the 9th and the 10th. And then I'll be off to Canada for a week, and then I'll be back. I'll be in New York on the 17th, and the 18th in New Jersey, Delaware. I'll be making my way down the East Coast, so Washington and then Virginia, and then I'm hoping that I'll get to Charlotte, and then from Charlotte I'll get a plane across to Northwest Arkansas. So I plan on arriving in Northwest Arkansas. I believe it will be the 21st. That'll be Wednesday, the 21st. So, and from there, I hope to stay until maybe the 26th or the 27th. And then I'll be heading back to Tyler, Texas, and
do
more speaking engagements there, and then I'll be back home.
Okay, so the 23rd is a Friday, August 23rd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is when we would want to schedule you in for our conference here in Northwest Arkansas, hosting you and a few other individuals that we want to bring involved as well. So everybody should put it on their calendar that loves to listen to this gentleman from Australia, Daniel Seckham, August 23rd, Friday, August 23rd. We're going to be hosting. We're going to get our team involved this evening in getting ready to host a conference on August 23rd here in Northwest Arkansas, where Daniel Seckham and a few others will be joining us for a weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 23rd. So, Daniel, we'll go ahead and prepare that, and we'll be praying for you as you make your return trip to the United States on August 6th. And as you travel throughout the nation, you go to Canada, we'll just be praying God opens very specific doors and that the anointing on your life and the energy that you need and the health required and all your needs being met will be taken care of as you go to bring the message to a country that is vulnerable and in many ways is losing its grip. And there needs to be some strong messages in these last days, and we need to articulate the message. We need to really understand from the heart of God. Our point of reference is the Word of God, not our emotions, not our feelings, but the Word of God. What is God saying to America right now? And up until this very moment, there's been kind of a voice that's gone out, and it's kind of going back and forth, and there's kind of a struggle, even in the prophetic community, about what's taking place in our nation. So we need to be praying for that direct spiritual vibration, that frequency of God, whatever it is, God's heart being revealed to his people. And hopefully that will be articulated as you come and bring the message to this country. So that will be important. Again, August 23rd, it's a Friday. We'll be there the 24th and 25th right here in Northwest Arkansas. There's a great conference taking place right now in Northwest Arkansas with the End Time Handmaidens in Springdale, Arkansas. And, you know, this is a real worship conference, as I understand it. I've been there a few times in the last years, and they've opened up some portals of heaven, and they love the Lord, and they do an outstanding job of just bringing the community of believers together to worship God. And again, Daniel, I was thinking, with all the stuff going on, that we need to be thankful every single day right now for the life that God has given us, for the life that we have, and for the future hope and promise that He has made to us. And we must keep ourselves tender-hearted. We must keep ourselves in the love of God. We must not capitulate to the rage that is stirring around us, because if we let it go, if we just let go, and we, you know, when I saw, for example, Daniel, maybe you could address this. When I saw that reporter getting punched in the face, malts being thrown on him, eggs being broken on him, and these bunch of cowards, you know, beating up this one little news reporter, and then no policemen were there to help, and the news media tried to put it down, I got angry in my heart. I have to confess it. I wanted to respond in a way that I haven't responded in a very long time to that kind of injustice. And, you know, it's these kind of events that we're going to see, these images that are going to have a tendency to draw us in. And yet we have to wait. We have to wait. We have to be patient. Speak into that.
Well, really, what we're seeing here is elements of society that are becoming lawless and really are seeing violence as a means to an end. And that's a major concern. I mean, it's so ironic that Antifa, I mean, Antifa, the name Antifa comes from anti-fascists, but really in reality, they are fascists themselves, absolutely fascists themselves. I mean, it's laughable, especially when you look at the garb that they wear. They're all in black and waving red flags, and many of them wave flags with the hammer and the sickle on them. I mean, wow. I mean, who would have thought that we would see days like this? But again, this is indicative of the state of American society, where America is at the moment. And it also, too, it reinforces the fact that the fight must be taken to the schools. The fight must be taken to the colleges, because this is where all these young people are being indoctrinated. I think Betty DeVos really needs to do something in tackling the amount of Marxists that are in American colleges at the moment, because it's getting beyond, you know, you are losing an entire generation being indoctrinated through these colleges. You know, Dinesh D'Souza said that there are more Marxists on the faculties of our elite colleges than there are in all of Russia and Eastern Europe. And he's absolutely correct. And that's a sobering thing to say. So there needs to be, the battle needs to be taken in regard to taking your schools back. But more than that, because it's not just, you know, talking about different laws that we could bring in and legislation. It's more than that. It actually goes to a spiritual problem. And that's the fact that America has turned its back on God. It always comes back to that. It comes back to the fact that America is unrepentant. And it's only when America comes to the point of repentance, then you'll begin to start to see things turning around. The moment believers get on their face, and it always begins with the church. It begins with the church. When the church comes to God and repents and turns away from its sin and repents from its idolatry, it repents from its compromise with the world, and it gets back to being preaching the gospel again, and then you'll start to see things turn around. God is wanting to turn things around. He wants to put His hand of protection back on America. But if America is unrepentant and unwilling, then God will have no choice but to remove his hand of protection. And that is a real worry to consider that, for God to remove his hand of protection. I mean, America has been blessed for so long. They have been enjoyed prosperity for so long. They have eaten of the fat of the land for so long. And they have become so comfortable. And it's interesting, you know, like a lot of this, this is what I call, Vincent, I call this the bored housewife syndrome. The bored housewife syndrome, how, you know, the bored housewife gets up to no good because, you know, she's bored, everything's good. The husband's out to work and she's got this money coming in and she's basically she's bored. And so she wants to have a bit of a flirt and she wants to have a bit of a bit of an affair. And she wants to, you know, sleep around, you know. And this kind of attitude is the prevailing attitude in America at the moment. It's the bored housewife syndrome, where they are, you know, they want to flirt around. You know, life is good, things is happening. We've got food on the table, and we've got money in the bank. You know, and they're bored. They are absolutely bored. So they want to risk. They want to, you know, be risque. They want to, you know, they want to flaunt themselves and flirt, and they want to embrace debauchery and embrace all this wild living, and its reality is going to come back to bite them really, really hard. It's unfortunate to say that, but judgment is coming. You know, it's I know we say that so often in these talks, but this is where America is heading, because they need to wake themselves up. They've had it so good, and God has been so good to America. You know, there was a time where the British Empire was they were the ones who sent out the missionaries. They were the British Empire was at that particular time was what you would call Pax Britannica, which basically means the peace that the British Empire brings about. It all, you know, this whole concept goes all the way back to Pax Romana, with the Roman peace that they brought about with the Roman Empire, and then it went on to, you know, Pax Hispania, with the Spanish Empire brought a season of peace in the world, and then the British Empire. But then the baton was passed on to America in the aftermath of World War II, and America became the global policeman. It became the one that would come to the aid of other nations. You know, this is why I laugh when I hear people say that America are colonizers and America are terrorists. It's an absolute load of rubbish. They are not colonizers. What nation would, for example, let's look at the Korean War. What nation would sacrifice thousands of their own sons to defend another country that has nothing to do with them? There's no monetary investment there. They're just trying to protect South Korea's freedom. I mean, what nation does that? You know, so, but America, things are changing. And again, we see this all happening with the indoctrination going on in the schools and kicking prayer out of schools and then the no-fault divorce that came in and now the gay marriage ruling that came in under Obama and the infamous time where he lit up the White House with the rainbow colors. I mean, things are changing pretty quickly. And, you know, and things are going to continue to change pretty quickly. At the moment, the left is demonizing conservatives and Christians, but the time will come where the left will go from demonizing you to dehumanizing you, which is always a path that these totalitarians take. They want to, they always resolve their issues through violence. It always heads that way. And here's the other thing. This is why they're pushing so hard for euthanasia. They're pushing hard for euthanasia because once they get that legalized, then the whole slippery slope comes into play. You know, first of all, they say, well, it's just for the elderly who are in, and for the terminally ill who are in a lot of pain. And but then there's this slippery slope comes. You know, you might have heard of the woman in the Netherlands who killed herself because she euthanized herself because she was struggling constantly with depression. And then there was another story of another man, I think he was also from the Netherlands, who euthanized himself because he was in a perpetual state of alcoholism. He couldn't get off alcoholism, so he euthanized himself. But then there's these stories of, you know, the French government just over the past week or so ruled that a disabled man should be starved to death because he is disabled, and because the socialized medicine over there, you know, the government calls the shots in regard to healthcare, the socialized healthcare. So this is what it does, you know. It goes under a capitalist system, healthcare increases in its quality because of the demand. The supply and demand causes the quality to go up. But the moment government takes control, the quality goes down because there's no more demand. So, and this is what happens. You might remember the baby that also died in England as a result of this socialized healthcare. So all this is a big thing of the left, especially euthanasia, because here's the other thing, because they eventually want to get to where they will euthanize people who they deem as mentally ill. They want to get rid of people from society, disabled people. They want to get rid of the depressed people, but they want to also get rid of the mentally ill people. Now, here's where it's going to get very interesting, because the left are also trying to designate Bible-believing people, religious people, as mentally ill. Now, you might think this sounds a bit crazy, but watch this space. You'll notice these two movements come together. These two movements will eventually come together. The ones who are pushing for the mentally ill to be killed, to be euthanized, and then you will see Bible-believing Christians as mentally ill. And so, you know, the left will push for anything to do with pro-death. They push for euthanasia, they push for abortion, and they push for homosexuality, because all this is anti-life. Anti-life. And while all that is happening, guess what they're doing? They are opening their arms to millions of immigrants from the third world who have no regard for American values. And so the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall, and is America going to pay attention? Well, let's wait and see.
Well, you know, again, this is the marvelousness of the Holy Spirit. I was waiting, as you were talking, you know, for that witness, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. What is Daniel going to say by the Spirit of God that's going to really bring enlightenment and understanding to where we are in these confusing days? And you just said it. The writing is on the wall. The last couple of days on this radio broadcast, Daniel, we were talking about what God had revealed to us while we were in Chicago, Illinois last weekend. The black horses, the angry bees, and a locust storm that a gentleman had a vision of while at church on Sunday morning. Another church. It's a friend of ours outside our own personal church. And we kind of saw within 48 hours a coming together of dreams or visions or, you know, impressions of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God telling us what is coming. And one of the scriptures was the handwriting is on the wall. You've been weighed in the balance and have been found lacking. And that black horse rider of Revelation 6 is carrying balances in his hand. And you just, again, to me, it's an eternal witness that we are a nation that the prophet Jeremiah would have come to a long time ago and warned this nation. And I know it's popular today to, you know, to be a voice of optimism, But America, you know, is been overfed with the delights of false prophets coming to this country, declaring prosperity and blessing and all of that to a nation that has forsaken the Lord, that the very best are as a briar, according to the prophet Jeremiah. And what this nation really needs is an interjection of divine truth and light and a sober warning. And yet the sober warnings have been spoken, time has passed, and people are not taking serious any of the warning messages anymore, because there's a plethora of prophets that have been hearing and seeing in their closets of prayer and in their offices, and they've been faithful to proclaim the message, and time has gone by, and we've seen a lot, but nobody wants to remember the lot that we've seen. And now we're at a moment where Leviticus chapter 26, the next level of judgments is at the door. I believe that with all of my heart, that the series of judgments, there were always seven times more will I afflict you. And I believe we are there. And what happens when a nation of Christians, because we are Christians, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, and when our salt and light becomes weak or it loses its savor, it's good for nothing to be trodden down under the foot of men. And what is it that has created this saltless, savorless, lightless condition of the Christians in the United States that we are not impacting our society anymore? We are basically defending ourselves. And Franklin Graham just warned that all Christians in America should be prepared for persecution. And, you know, that is a message I believe is the truth. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that, Andrew Brunson, he was the American missionary who was just released from prison in Turkey. But he came out and he said that, I fear for the young people because they don't know what's coming. He said, because persecution is coming. It is coming, and the people aren't ready for it. People aren't prepared for it, because this is absolutely what's happening. And see, the left smell blood in the water. They smell blood in the water because they know if they keep pushing, if they keep agitating, if they keep protesting, then they will eventually they will reach a tipping point, and they will basically do away with the America that they hate. And this is what I believe is, and it's Christians that are holding that back, Pastor Vincent. It's Christian believers who are standing in the gap, who are interceding, who are praying for the nation, that is holding back this tipping point. But I will, and I believe that the time will come when these godly people, these holy people, where their power will be broken, and this will usher in. I believe this is what Daniel spoke about in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Listen to this. It says that the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted right his hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time. Okay, so he's talking about the great tribulation. When is it? He says this, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Now, when you hear that, you also need to think about the restrainer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because Paul says that the man of lawlessness will be revealed when he who was holding him back is taken out of the way. I believe that scripture, along with Daniel 12:7, when he talks about the power of the holy people has been broken, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. There are many scholars that actually believe that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he talks about the restrainer, that's talking about a nation or an empire or a kingdom. And when this empire or this kingdom is removed, this nation is removed, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. I believe, amen. You know, just think about it. If America is removed from the world stage, just think about it. The global policeman is no longer there.
There it is. Daniel, that's a great place to stop right now. You get yourself some rest. That is a thought to be selahed, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Xavier. We've got to run right now. Daniel, thank you for joining us on the air. If you get over to omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion taking place right now. We'll see you tomorrow with bells on. I'm on my way to Kerm Radio. God bless everybody. Shalom.